While I'm starting, you may want to turn to the 16th chapter of Proverbs. You know, we have a tendency as children of God, of being in the family of God, to lose our zeal for who we are and what we're supposed to do. We have a tendency to do that. You know, it says in the song, we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's our nature. That's our natural bent. We get lackadaisical, Mama used to say. That's the best way I knew to say it. I had to look that word up, didn't even know for sure if it's a word in the dictionary. It's a French word, but it's lackadaisical. And it means to lose our life, our zeal, our spirit, and just be blah. As far as God is concerned, we don't need that. But we have a tendency to be that way. When we're, like a fellow said one time about the cleaning business. I had an uncle that was in the clothes cleaning business. And he said, you better get your money when you clean folks' clothes, because when they get dirty again, they don't feel like they owe you. It's kind of like when you get full. When we're warm and full, we have a tendency to be complacent. And in this country, we have so many things that occur to us that'll keep us comfortable. When we get lackadaisical, we lose our idea of God's priorities for us. He demands a lot. And today, I believe God would have us talk about liars and lying. We see so much of it now. We have kind of become a country of liars and people who have a tendency to put up with it. Sometimes we don't go to enough trouble ourselves to make sure that we're dealing with the absolute truth. I'd like to show you something that God says about it. The one thing I'd like to tell you first, before we get into the scriptures and all, God has a special thing about lying. It's on every single list of people who are not going to heaven, is about liars. And I'd like for us to take a look today at what he says about it, to get his attitude about this thing of telling untruths or dealing with untruths. It says in the 6th chapter of Proverbs and verse 16, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. I looked up that word abomination to make sure I understood what it meant. And it means that things that God wants to do away with. An abomination is a thing that God wants to do away with. And of the 6 things that God hates and are abominations to him, Number one is a proud look. He hates that worse than he does anything else. And the second thing is a lying tongue. Now there's something here of the six things that God hates. Now listen. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief or evil. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's the six things that God has. Number one through six on his hate list. And sometimes we deal with it so nonchalantly. We even expect it in other people. And when we see it, we don't make a big deal about some of it. But of those six things that God hates, three of them have to do with telling something that's untrue. That's dealing with an untruth. Because you can't very well sow discord among the brethren without telling a lie. A fellow said one time, there's one thing about a thief. You got to be a liar to steal. So a fellow that steals is a liar too, because if you ask him did he get it, he's got to tell you no. A false witness is a man that tell a lie on another man. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations, telling lies. Create a situation where other people believe something that's not true. God hates liars. That's what it says. There are six things God hates. And of the six things, three of them have to do with people who tell untruth. Turn to the book of John. Today we're going to look at things that John had to say about. He's one of the biggest people that talks about lying, folks. It was special with him too. Of course, you know John, when Jesus came along as a teenager, Jesus didn't meet him like he did Peter as a 35, 40-year-old man. He met him as a teenager, a kid. And he really made an impression on John. And in John 18, let's look at what Jesus said. The book of John 18, verse 37. Jesus is standing tied with his hands tied. He'd already been beaten a couple of times in Pilate's hall. Pilate was deciding whether or not he's supposed to die or not. So Jesus was on trial the night before he was put on the cross the next day. And in verse 37 of chapter 18 of John, the book of John, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest rightly that I am a king. That word rightly is not put in there, but that's what the word means. Jesus' response to Pilate was, You've said right, I am a king. And then look what he says. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus says, that's the reason I was born like you and the rest of you, like a human. That's the reason my Father sent me from heaven, to be born like humans down here on this earth. was that I might bear witness for what is the truth. That's the most important thing Jesus said I was sent to do, is to make sure you understand what the real truth is. And he says, everyone that is of the truth. Who is that? That's you and I. That's Christians. That's believers. Hear my voice. The only people that listen to Jesus are believers. Without the Holy Spirit in your heart, you won't listen to him. Not but one time. One time he'll come and you got a choice. And then sometimes he'll come again. He won't stay there, but he keeps coming back and giving people a chance to believe. Because the thing about salvation, it happens in a moment and it happens in here. It doesn't need an aisle. It doesn't need a table. It doesn't need a pulpit. It doesn't need a preacher. It happens in a man's heart. And the moment he says, I understand now and believe the truth in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. And Jesus says, I came so that you might know the truth. And the people of the truth, the people who are concerned about the truth, hear my voice. How big a deal is the truth with you? How much patience have you got with people who won't tell the truth? I can remember my mom and daddy when I was small. Boy, they'd tear you up really good for telling the truth, telling a lie. They couldn't take it. Their goal was to see to it that I grew up to be somebody who wouldn't lie to you. And they'd hurt you for being slack about telling the truth when we were just little bitty kids. Jesus was the image of his Father, Jehovah God. He was everything that his Father was. And he said, I was sent to bear witness to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father except by me. And he said in John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit can't tell a lie. It can't. And when it speaks of Jesus, and that's what he says one of the jobs of it is to make you remember every single thing I've said, Jesus said. Jesus is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth, and God is truth. And they've got no patience for anything or anybody that's not. Turn to chapter 8 of John. Back a few pages. Jesus was in the temple. He was teaching. And he was confronted by the Pharisees. The most religious, if you will, people of that day. They were considered by the whole population as being the most religious. Now please understand something about Jesus' day, because if we know how things were then, maybe we can cut some of those people a little slack. See, there was 200 people came around the time of Jesus claiming to be Jesus, claiming to be the Messiah. So see, if you see people who don't seem to take him very seriously, it's because there was another 199 of them. He wasn't the only one. And what I've had to learn is the thing that made Jesus stand out from all the other messiahs was this. Jesus was the only one that had authority over the works of Satan. When a person was demon-possessed, Jesus could take that demon out of him. He could command Satan's demons to get out of people. He could even give the power to men, his disciples, to also take demons out of people. The people of that day that walked the street, only the Jews had a temple that they could go to and claim to worship a god. The rest of the people had a choice. They could either worship idols or worship nothing. They weren't allowed in the Jewish temple. So they didn't have a church on the corner that they could go to and even worship anything they wanted to. They just didn't have anything. And when Jesus came along, he was one of 200 that was preaching to them, trying to get them to believe it. And the thing that made him stand out in the population of the streets of that day was one thing. And that he could control Satan. And they had a very, very good idea of just how strong Satan was. And we see that today. If we're serious about our God and about our belief in Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're beginning to notice just how strong Satan is and what a mess he's made of this world. And it's all around us. And he says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, which we've got. We see it all around us all the time. We pray about it every Sunday morning. But take cheer, because I have overcome the world. The only chance we got at getting out of this world alive is Jesus Christ. And the belief in the gospel of his death and burial and resurrection, that he came to save us. The only people who believe in Jesus Christ are the only ones who will get out of this world alive. Nobody else will. Jesus in chapter 8, in verse 44, he's talking to those Pharisees. And they're making him to be false. They say he's got demons. He's speaking for the devil. The very thing that Jesus came to try to overcome. They're accusing him of it. And he says in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. Telling the leaders of the church that. Can you imagine the shock that came over the people that walk in the street? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. That's what Jesus said of the religious leaders of the day. You are of your father, the devil, just like your father. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own nature. That word is not in there and should be. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. That's what he said in verse 45. And that's the reason we may do the same thing. It's because Satan is tempting us to tell untruths. And we talk about little white lies or half lies, but a half lie is still half truth. And a truth is a half of a half truth is a half of a lie. And we throw that kind of stuff around, and it doesn't seem to be so important to us sometimes. Look at verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. Is that not the same thing for us? We're of the world. We didn't come from heaven, if you will, like he did. We were born here on this earth. We were born a human. We were born into sin. And it's our nature to be that way. Until we have an opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ and to be saved. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. If you don't believe in me, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell in your sin. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, they didn't know what he was talking about. A lot of them didn't. Then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. I'm telling you what my Father taught me. And essentially that's what he was accusing the Jews of. He said, you lie because your father, the devil, taught you how to do it. And I'm telling you what my father taught me. And because I tell you the truth, you won't believe me. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now there, right there, is one of the key verses for every Christian that walks the face of this earth. What does Jesus say? He's here with me. Why is he here with me? Because I do those things that please him. It's the simplest thing in the whole world. What did Paul say one time? I just don't want y'all like Eve to miss the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. You want Jesus to be with you all the time and have a blessed life every single day? What do? You do the things that please him, and he'll be with you. He said in another place, it's your sin that makes me turn my face away from you. So there it is. For every believer, the way to keep Jesus in your shirt pocket is to do the things that please him. And he'll be with you all day, every day. And look what it said in the next verse. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many people believed on him. Many people believed on him. They heard him. He said what he said. The Holy Spirit of God convinced them that it was the truth, and they believed on him and became Christians. And that is as complicated as any of it gets. All you got to do is believe. You can do that standing on a hill out in the woods or sitting in a blind waiting on a deer. You can do it anywhere. is simply be convinced in your heart that the story of Jesus Christ on the cross is true. And that is the reason that Jesus came, to stand witness, bear witness of the truth. And the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 32. I'm at 38, I'm sorry. I speak to you, what he's saying, that which I have seen with my Father. I came from my Father, he said, and my Father came with me. He's down here with me now. That's what he just said. And you do that which ye have seen with your Father. Can it be any plainer than that? A person that tells lies is following the work of Satan. He is telling lies because Satan has an influence on what he does and what he is and what he thinks and what he says every day. If I tell a lie in that moment, I am following Satan. And if I tell enough lies, I'm following Satan enough that Jesus could say he's my Father. You following? I mean, because you're that away, your habit's that away, you're following Satan. There's only two choices, folks. There's not three kinds of people in the world. Those that follow God, those that follow Satan, and there's a bunch of people in the middle that are kind of neutral. That's not what my Bible says. The second chapter of Ephesians says, if I am a Christian today, I once was a person who followed Satan. There are only two options. You're either following Satan without knowing it because you're choosing to go with the world, which belongs to Satan, and Satan uses the world to get you to do the things that God doesn't want you to do. Or else you're following Jesus, one of the two. And if you're lying, you have chosen to do what Satan's teaching you to do. Like I said, we have become a nation of liars. The United States has become a nation of liars. And those who tolerate those liars, because there's not enough people standing up and pointing people and saying, you're telling a lie. People, the good people of the world that I know about, are not standing on national TV and pointing a finger in a man's face and saying, you're telling a lie. People are talking all day long on my TV about people who are telling us lies, and they never call them a liar to their face. That's God's standpoint. From where he sits, that's the way he sees it. From a position from which things are judged and things are viewed, that is God's standpoint. He's telling a lie. And if he's telling a lie, you don't need to listen to it. He's a liar. And he's a liar if he's habitually doing it because his father taught him how to do it, and his father is Satan. That's what God says about the whole issue. To have the Holy Spirit within us is to learn how to live in the Spirit. That's what it's there for. To teach us to live like Jesus lived. and to think like Jesus did, to have the mind of Jesus. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Just before you get to Revelation. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. Now listen to this. This is so explanatory, I guess is a word, if that's a word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which ye received of him abideth in you. Because you believe, God has anointed you with the indwelling Holy Spirit. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You see what that's saying? You're a Christian now. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. And because of that, you don't lie. You don't lie at all. You don't even lie a little bit. You speak the truth as you know it. If you don't have a truth to speak, you don't say anything. Anthony's not here today, and I'll tell you a little story on him. He's the one that told me, if I don't have a truth to say, I don't say anything. That's hard. When you're around a bunch of guys and they're all talking, and you're going to put something into the conversation, to say the only thing I got to offer is something that's not true, so I won't even say nothing. I won't even tell about it. That was the influence that Anthony had on me. Because that was the kind of person he was. He said, when a bunch of men together and they're giving opinions, if God doesn't give me an opinion to share with them, I just don't say anything. That's a special person that can do that. And he tried to be that kind of person. The Holy Spirit teaches you truth. And he tries to get you to limit yourself to the truth. In chapter 2 of 1 John, in verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now this is not talking about the Ten Commandments. This is talking about the law of Christ. All those things Christ said, I want you to do. If you claim to be of me, I want you to do these things. This is the way you do it. Verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth not in him. You claim to be a Christian, you walk the streets, people know you as a Christian. And like one guy jokingly said, they see your car in front of the church on Sunday. If they see your car in front of the church on Sunday, they're expecting you to act like a Christian. And if you don't act like Jesus acted, you're a liar. Because you say you are, and you don't live that way. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How do you know that you're born again? People have questions a lot of times early on. Am I really saved? You know you're saved if we want to do what Jesus wants us to do. That's simple. And verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked. So if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you walk like Jesus did. You act like Jesus did. You behave like Jesus did. You think like Jesus thought. That's not hard to try to define if you know anything about Jesus at all. That's the reason it aggravates me sometimes, is because some people are trying to do so many things that preachers are telling them to do that God never said they're supposed to do. They worry about, and I believe Satan influences folks, if I stand here and tell you things that are not important, and you go out there and spend all your time trying to do them, then you don't get to be to do the things that God says is important. And the number two thing on his hate list, besides a proud look, arrogance, is a lying tongue. It's important. You haven't heard me talk about smoking or drinking or dancing or all these other things that preachers try to get you to do. Because they get you so busy studying about all that stuff. Like one preacher said, I hadn't said a cuss word in 38 years. Somebody said, what do you think of that, Brother Joe? I said, I think he thinks it's important not to say a cuss word. But there's nothing in here about profanity. There's not one single word in the whole book about profanity, what we call today profanity. And what does it say? Love covers a multitude of sins. You find somebody who loves the brethren, who loves other people. That is the thing that God is talking about. That is what Jesus did. In John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, just over a couple of pages, John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You have the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his own Son. See this? God left this record for us that we'll know what to believe. We'll know what the truth is and what's a lie. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's what Jesus came to show us, the truth. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Simple fact. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the whole reason Jesus came, that you might believe the truth, the simple truth. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My load is not heavy at all. It's not hard to do what I ask you to do, Jesus says, because what I'm asking you to do is live like me and love each other. That's it. You will know them, John says in another place, by their love. So what I've said about liars and lying And what we ought to think about our own speech, whether we tell lies or half-truths or the whole truth, is this. There's enough evidence to indicate by what we've just read. Yet if you don't believe God's word, as it is written, you make God a liar. And God is not a liar. And he's got no patience whatsoever for us making him a liar. So what do? We believe what he said. That's the way God sees it. And you know what? We don't make a big enough deal of the truth. You know why I know that? Because in our Bible, there was churches all up and down the road. Reason for another church was not that people believed different than all these over here. They all believe the same. That's the message of the Bible. The only reason we'll have another church was because you couldn't walk to the one that was. You couldn't get there. But that church down the road that you couldn't get to, when you started another, you started just like the other. They were all the same. And the testimony is there against all of us that call ourselves Christians. We've got so many places to meet that believe different than the place down the road. And that is not what God intended. It's not what Jesus intended. There is a truth, and it's simple. And we can't all believe it, because we got some little something that make us different than them up there. And if we're different than them up there, there's no way we can have anything to do with it. And we've got leadership in our government today that is trying to separate all of us. That's not what God intended. So we need to be very careful that in our listening and the influences that are made on our lives is not what Satan is trying to do and get us all to believe different, but all to believe the same. And what is the same? This book. I don't believe there's any kind of verse in that book that nullifies another verse. I think that the only way we can understand what this book says is to go to another place in the same book and read something else, and when you put the two together, it gives us the answer. People say, oh, you can't believe that book. I had a preacher one time tell me, so the book said, you can't believe that book. The book says, a preacher told me this. The book said, Jesus said, I'm a knower. You know Jesus is not a knower. You know what Jesus was talking about. I am the way. If you want to come in, you have to go through the door that is me. We're in a mess. And we got to believe the book, because the book is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, with your Holy Spirit, please influence us to believe your word and to believe your record that you left us about who Jesus is and what he stands for, what he is and what he's not, that we may be the same. And Jesus says, my burden's light. It's not heavy. It's not hard to carry. You can do it. Just don't get tangled up with all this other stuff. Keep your eyes on me and do what I do and think what I think. And God can put His hand on your shoulder and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been a ruler over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many." That's the life we've got to live. Thank you, Jesus, for telling us the truth and coming that we may know the truth. That was the purpose for which God sent you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.